Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Guys, just before we jump into episode one of series two, we'd first like to say that the first couple of interviews from this series were pre-recorded before the tragic death of George Floyd in the US and the knock-on effects which have been felt globally and especially in this country. So we'd firstly like to say that we massively support the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah, we don't understand, but we stand. We can all make a difference, whether it affects you or not. Now is the time to inflict change. Mate, just picture this. It's Saturday. It's boiling hot. I'm on Clapham Common. I've got the pill in my right hand, a Corona in my left. I look out. There are chassis as far as the eye can see. And I just start singing, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. More lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. Then everyone realises it's Archie Cousin, captain of the Clapham Falcons, chief chat officer, the CEO of Clapham, and they all start singing, more lash, 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 more lash. And then everyone is on their feet. They're going nuts. It's like SW4. Beers are going everywhere. Rocket balls in the air. Everyone's got their top off, including girls. And they all start singing, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. Absolutely kicking off. I neck my beer, everyone goes nuts, and I reckon all the birds would love it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to season two of the Rig Biz podcast. I'm Freddie Claude, and as always, I'm joined by the most famous fly half in London, in Mr. Archie Cousins. And Archie, it's right to say that we've got a lot of work to be doing.
Mate, we've got a hell of a challenge, and I'm looking forward to it, mate.
Yeah?
Yeah, we need to start cracking, mate.
So for those who may have missed the sort of little teaser intro a couple of weeks ago, what are we setting out to do?
Well, I'm looking to find a wife in the next 10 weeks.
A wife? I thought it was a girlfriend.
No, now I need a wife, mate.
A wife?
Yeah. I realised in isolation that in my year at school, it's only me and one other bloke who are left single. Wow. Right, he's actually got a girlfriend. His name's Barry De Silva, and he used to wet himself at school, and he's got a girlfriend.
Jesus Christ. So all those weeks in isolation made you think the time is ripe?
I just think that, you know, it's come to a point in my life where, yes, I'm smashing it in the rugby world. Yes, I'm smashing it in the podcast world. Yes, I'm smashing it in Instagram world. Yes, I'm carving it up in the city. But I want someone to enjoy all those things with me.
Right, okay.
Obviously, they won't be taking a cut of anything I'm making. But what I ideally need is someone who can share, you know, a mortgage on a £1.5 million place.
Right, okay, so it's not even a romantic gesture, really.
No, it will definitely be romantic. I can be romantic, Freddie, but right. I can afford a one million pound house in Clapham, but if I want that swimming pool, then it's 1.5, and I'll need someone to share that mortgage because I still want to go skiing, I still want to go to Dubai, and I still want to do my holiday to the Algarve and play golf.
But how come you gave yourself such a short window, 10 weeks to find a wife?
I mean, it's not short, mate, you know.
You think you can do it?
If anyone can do it, it's me.
Well, mate, you know, I was obviously shocked when you told me that that was your sort of challenge, as it was. But I think that I'm, you know, I want to be massively behind you and support you. And so I have got in contact with...
Mate, if you do, you can come on the stag.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, you know, as I was saying, I've got in contact with as many people as possible.
And if Benders doesn't want to do the best man speech, then look, you're more than happy. I'm more than happy you'd step in.
Good. Well, I'd be honoured, sir. But look, I've got in contact with the most fitting celebrities I could think of to help you achieve this goal, which is, I still think, a crazy goal. So over the next 10 weeks, we'll be having on the show people to try and make this dream come true. And today, I thought the best place to start would be to give you some dating advice.
I don't think I need it, but okay.
Well, I mean, have you had a, you know, successful sort of strip dating or not?
Yeah, I mean, I go on dates to infernos every weekend.
It's more with the rugby boys, though, isn't it? It's not really dating.
Well, I mean, I've pretty much got with every girl in infernos.
Well, what do you mean, got with?
Well, hold on. I've shagged. Well, I don't know. Does a snog count as a shag?
No, not at all.
Oh, right. Well, I've done pretty well for myself.
Okay. Well, I'm getting on the show today to help you out, a dating expert called Sophie Milner, who's a very well-known face across the world of social media.
She's single?
I don't think so, mate, sadly. But that's not the reason she's
coming. Because we could have done it in week one.
I think it's time we brought on the professionals. Sophie, come help us out. Sophie, thank you so much for joining us. Just to bring you up to speed, Archie's realised that the time is rife for him to try and find a girlfriend. And he's given himself...
A wife, mate. A wife.
A wife?
Yeah.
Right, okay. A wife. Yeah. And he's given himself the somewhat...
Fiancé. To be my wife.
Right, so he's given himself this ridiculous task of completing that...
It's not a ridiculous task.
Yeah, but the fact you're trying to...
I am probably one of the most eligible bachelors in Clapham. Most girls would be pretty happy with me as a husband.
He's trying to do
it. Got great hair. I've got a very nice rig. And my chat is unbelievable.
Well, what makes it...
Look, Sophie's laughing already. I'm guessing that's the key to a girl's heart, laughter.
It's really working. See, you know, you're already way on track.
Archie, you said
This is going to be that hard, Freddie.
In this day and age of sort of digital dating on apps, can you give us your sort of biggest do's and don'ts for setting up profiles? What should we be showing, saying, not revealing? What are girls looking for, etc.?
Okay, so obviously Hinge, I would say, is the main one that people are using right now because it shows
Hinge.
A little bit of personality on there. And also some good pictures. Obviously, you said skiing. You want someone you go skiing with, so you need to have skiing pictures up there. You need to get your rig out and maybe at least one photo, but not all of them.
Currently, I've just got, it's three photos and it's just me in the mirror in a towel.
And are they like mirror selfies?
Yeah, just because...
That's not good. That's not good. You need to change that. That's probably not good.
Oh, right. Why?
It just seems a little bit like, you say you want a wife, right?
Yeah.
So that to me screams like, I just want to bang and I just want to shag. It's not very serious. So I think that you probably need like a nice kind of more professional looking picture, but not too professional because then they'll think that you're a bit self-obsessed. One with your friends to show you've got friends, but your friends can't be hotter than you because then obviously they'll be like, I don't want to be with an ugly friend.
What about I've got a photo that a friend of mine took of me at the Ruggers at Twickenham just holding a Guinness, which I absolutely destroyed. And in the background is England playing rugby, and a lot of those guys follow me on Instagram, so I'd say they're my mates.
Yeah, well, if a picture with your mates like that, brilliant. If they're your friends, 1,000,000%, that was something that I would definitely like swipe right for. How can I ask how tall you are?
I'm around 6'2", 6'3".
Okay, great. Because I was going to say if you're below 6 foot, definitely Archie, lie about
sorry,
the height on the
sorry,
app.
Sorry, Soph. Archie, you're about 5 inches off 6'3".
Well, I don't know. On my profile, I've got 6'2". I'm pretty sure last time...
Well, that's great. No, that's fine. He's already doing the right thing. I was going to say it's probably best to lie about your height and put at least 6 foot. So you already got that covered. It's fine. It's one of those things that, yes, deceiving someone is probably a little bit mean, but then when you meet up with them, you've got all the great chat to back it up, so they'll forget that you lied in the first place.
But you're saying currently he's coming across as a bit of a fuckboy. With his mirror selfies, lying about his height. I mean, this just sounds like he's deluding the woman he's going to meet. Surely that's not going to be successful.
a little bit of a fuckboy. Change the pictures.
What is it? Sorry, what is a fuckboy?
Everyone lies about their height. What's a fuckboy? A fuckboy is essentially like, it's like the new word for a player. It's a guy who's kind of got his fingers in many, many pies and going on dates with loads and loads of girls, but also deceiving them. Going on dates with multiple people, fine. If you're telling them the truth and you're being honest, but like if you're making them feel like they're the only one for you and then like fucking around with loads of other women, now that's a fuckboy.
I mean, I go out on the weekends, most weekends with the boys, the rugby boys, and head to Inferno's, and I'm being pretty successful most weekends. I mean, I was asking Freddie earlier, but I mean, I count a snog as a shag. But in that way, I shag every weekend.
Wow, that's impressive. You could probably get that up a little bit more though if you got some midweek dates in and everything like that. You just want to get you need to get your online performance up to the same as your weekend performance in person.
Now, what's his best way to go around ensuring a date? You know, what's the ideal time to talk to someone on an app before it dries out? You know, this is a new world to Arch.
Okay, so Archie, I think you really need to, for me, nobody wants a pen pal. No one wants to be messaging someone on apps constantly. I think you need to lock down a date within a couple of days of talking.
So,
I think
just, just move the conversation straight to LinkedIn.
I mean, LinkedIn is a good place. You could just bypass dating apps completely and just go through LinkedIn to start off anyway.
Because my LinkedIn profile is just me and a towel.
Yeah, well... No, you need to change that picture, Archie. That's not going to work.
Right. I'll just get one of me in my rugby kit. That's quite a nice...
Yeah, that's much better. Yeah. Instantly better. Completely okay. Fine.
I'm writing all these down.
It's time for him to suggest a perfect first date. Now, obviously, living in Clapham, do you have any recommendations for where he should take this lady?
Inferno's.
Not Inferno's, Arch. Come on.
Yeah, not Inferno's. I would honestly say number 32, but that's usually where I go to meet people because the bar's really round.
Yeah, I like number 32.
Looking at other people. Like, I've been to number 32 before and not even spoke to my friends all night because I've been staring at other people there. But it's maybe number 32 on a weekday would be okay.
Number 32 is like the Ned of Clapham. Proud. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It is the Ned of Clapham, I swear. It's so yeah. And so, also, if the date's not going that well, there's probably a good opportunity to maybe meet somebody else there.
Sophie, are you saying maybe I just go to number 32 midweek and I just stare at a few people and see if I can connect?
No, you need to go on a date there first, but maybe go midweek anyway, have a couple pints with the boys and... Yeah, connecting there is always going to happen. It's the bar. It's the round-shaped bar. It's
Sophie, in the past, Archie's always said that he takes girls for 3 to 5-course Michelin star meals for his first dates. Is that too heavy or?
That's 1,000,000% too heavy.
Oh, right. Well,
that is so intimidating.
My dad's now on his third marriage and he always takes them to a really nice restaurant and he pays for it. And I think that just says to a girl... Okay, this guy is successful. And I think that's what most girls want in a husband. They want someone who's successful.
I agree. But also, your dad is on his third marriage, not his first. No offense.
Yeah, but to be fair, so he like says
maybe,
it's
maybe
all...
Maybe that's where he's going wrong.
No, maybe but he says it's never been his fault. It's always been... Like, my mum, apparently, was just a real nag. And, just...
Of course.
Yeah, so... But... The thing I'm thinking is that if I take him to a really nice restaurant, 3-course meal, I turn up, I've just come from a spin class. I'm in my leggings, shorts, a hoodie and a cap, wearing no socks and some trainers. And I sit down and I've just been to spin class, but yes, I smell delicious and I've putting everything on my Amex. They're going to think, okay, this guy is in great shape and he's successful. Let's move this to date 2 and let's move in.
I would not be impressed if someone showed up sweaty and in their gym stuff, if I'm honest, unless I was doing like a gym date, which is kind of a bit weird. So maybe you just don't do that.
That sounds good. Can you do gym dates?
I think an outdoor one could be kind of nice-ish. I've been asked on a couple before. It's kind of a little bit weird. But the good thing about it is you get to check out their rig and see what shape they're in. So you kind of know what you're getting yourself in for early days.
Maybe I take a girl to the common and just do like a hit session with them And then
I think that's a good, that could work for you. It could see if you've got the similar interests and things like that, similar fitness levels.
Right, write that down.
Sophie, after a couple of dates, you know, let's say number 32 for a couple of, you know, visits and then maybe a hit class on the common, he's had three dates. Now, is it time for him to move things on?
Yeah.
Or is this three-date rule outdated?
Date three, I'm asking him to move in. I've got 10 weeks.
I wasn't going to send you that. Wait,
I think we're talking about different things on date three, aren't we?
Yeah. I'm asking him to move in.
Archie, I think we were talking about sexual escapades in the boudoir.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm fine in that department. A lot of girls have said I'm a fantastic kisser, and you can tell if you're a good kisser, most of the time it means you're really good in bed. Just quickly, is sense of humor really important on a date? Like, should I be laughing at girls' questions on a date, even if they're not funny? Is that just a nice thing to do?
No, I think if you're laughing at every question a girl says, then you're probably going to be like, what the fuck is wrong with that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just like that.
What's the main thing Archie should concentrate on to try and get this ridiculous challenge of finding a wife in 10 weeks?
Obviously not the aesthetics. I've got that in the bag.
I just think it is a numbers game. Numbers and also multiple places. Don't fuck up by going to the exact same place. You know, split yourself between the Neds, number 32. Do you go as far as White City House, going that way, and maybe try some of the other places?
Clapham North. Should I have a checklist? I've got a checklist here that is it worth asking on a date? Just, you know, just casually ask questions just to make sure that they are ticking all the boxes.
Like, do you ski?
Well, first one, and also I talk about skiing. I wouldn't say, do you ski? Because that would be a bit, you know, I'd say, oh, I went skiing recently. Have you been skiing anywhere nice? And then obviously get into that question. Then I would probably ask like, oh, my family are considering getting a second home in Portugal. Where do your family have a second home? And then,
I mean, I think it's a very good way of getting through your checklist. It's a very simple way of doing it. But I would say don't write off people that don't hit everything on your checklist, because, you know, they might have more to offer you.
Like what? Because basically what this comes down to is, Sophie, you know, I'm ideally looking to get on the property market, and I'm looking at Clapham, and I really want someone to share that mortgage with me. And, you know, I want to get a swimming pool. I'm looking at £1.5 million places. Do I get into that conversation on date one? Do I say, like, you know, what's your credit rating? Or do I try and get into that conversation, like, what's your credit rating? Would you be able to, you know, what's your basic salary? Do I ask those questions, or is that, I don't know. That's normal questions I ask on a night out, but I'm looking for something different in Infernos. This time, I'm in a date. I'm more relaxed. I'm casual. I'm trying to take it easy.
Don't ask this on the first date. No, don't. I think that's definitely at least wait until third date, and you might need to think of a different way to rephrase these things.
Sophie, Archie used to do a thing when he went on these sort of dinner dates where he used to say, should we split the bill on a first date just so he could see what card they had? Now, that was quite clever, but is that the right thing to do, or should he be paying?
It was only to see the card, and then I would say, no, don't worry, I've got it. My bonus came in, and then but it was just to see the card.
What chance do you give him of finding a wife by the end of the 10-week period?
With your
professional advice?
Anything's doable if you lower your standards enough, but I don't think you want to do that. So I think I'll give you, I think maybe a solid 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10.
Yeah.
Well,
Archie,
that's what my mum gave me.
Yeah. Well, mate, if you listen to Sophie's advice, we're gonna hopefully, if she's up for it, check back in with her in about 5 weeks' time with a progress report, and hopefully we'll have some wonderful things to report. Sophie, thank you so much for all your incredible advice.
Thanks, Sophie.
Yeah, it's been lovely to speak with you.
We've also put out a call to arms to our listeners to send in their dating stories. And hopefully, you know, some good, some bad, but hopefully we can learn from one of those stories to give you an idea of what's to come in this crazy world of love.
Yeah, that's what I always say to the boys on the field, on the rugby pitch. I say, look, we've got to learn from our mistakes.
Exactly. So hopefully we can...
I don't normally learn, I don't really make mistakes, if I'm being honest. But I try and learn from others.
Well, look, mate, you're...
Like in practice, Pikey sometimes... always dummies when I miss pass to him, and he always gets nailed.
Well, mate, look.
And so I've learned that not to pass to him.
Rugby's not the same as dating, and as you said yourself, you're in your early 30s, all your friends are married off, basically. So look, it's time for you to concentrate, and hopefully we can make some progress. So we'll dive straight into the story, if you're ready.
Yeah, let's go.
So, Arch, the story we're going to analyse is from a certain Simon Knight. I mean, I had to pick this from...
Simon Knight?
Yeah.
I'd probably call him Knighty.
I'm sure you would.
Pop right, Knighty. Pop right.
And
inside ball, Knighty.
You know...
Great ball. Well played, Knighty.
We were thankful enough to get in, you know, sent in hundreds, but this is one which I thought...
Well, Freddie, we've got a high interaction rate. I'm not joking. A lot of people love our chat.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of brands come to me and say, you know, can you advertise this? I'm like, yeah, how much are we talking? How much coin?
Mm-hmm.
It's never enough.
Well, this is one
not enough for me to make the deal.
Because I thought you could learn from it, and also maybe our listeners could learn from it.
Okay, I'm pretty sure I won't learn anything. I know dating pretty well, Freddie, but carry on.
He says, "Dear Rigbiz Pod, at the end of last year, I managed to secure a date with a seriously attractive young woman who will go by the pseudonym Sarah."
Okay, I think Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might know her.
Really?
Yeah, I pulled quite lots a hot Sarah just before lockdown.
Okay.
Probably the same one.
Well, he says a couple
She's
of
a goer. She's a goer.
A couple of weeks after our first meeting, I arranged for us to meet for drinks at a renowned Mayfair establishment.
Oof. Great place for drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Mayfair. Really good boozer.
He says naturally...
Some great pubs around that area. And actually very good for doing client lunches.
Mm-hmm. Naturally...
Have you ever been to Mayfair?
I have. I've frequented there, you know, over the years.
Hakkasan's in Mayfair.
Oh, yeah.
Great restaurant.
Really?
Done
good.
A lot of business there.
Really?
In Hakkasan, yeah.
Wow. Over the table.
If I could have one restaurant that would be my office, it would be Hakkasan.
Wow. Well, he goes on and says, naturally, as
a bit of salmon sashimi.
Archie, come
and
on.
And a deal.
Naturally, as I was punching well above my weight, I had some pre-date nerves and needed some Dutch courage.
Sure.
So I had a quick lager at home before leaving and arrived 20 minutes early to have a drink at the bar.
I hope he had that lager with his left hand.
Yeah. As a self-confessed lightweight, I told myself that I'd slow down on the sauce once we had sat down and started chatting.
This guy sounds like a seriously good lad. He calls booze the sauce. That's what the kind of chat I have. I love getting on the sauce.
Sarah then texted me to say she was really sorry, but she'd be half an hour late as she was at a birthday dinner nearby that hadn't finished on time.
Okay, well, if this was a business meeting, I'd have left. No one keeps me waiting, but okay, obviously Knighty's a bit desperate.
Half an hour and another two drinks later, she arrived. We found a table, ordered some drinks, and the conversation flowed surprisingly well for a good couple of hours. Then, at around midnight, she came back from the bar with a couple of shots of vodka.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, I've done it. It's plain sailing from here. We knocked them back effortlessly, and after about 10 minutes, she suggested another two shots. By this point, I was fully inebriated, but I didn't want to be emasculated by declining it, so confidently, but truthfully rather nervously, I accepted another. Sure
Dangerous.
Enough, when I put this one away, I suddenly had that all-too-familiar, queasy sensation and knew straight away that I had to make a dash for the loos.
Oh, dear. This guy probably plays hockey.
I mumbled an excuse to Sarah and darted off to the nearest loo, and within seconds of barging through the door, I was violently sick. I was sprawled on the floor
Nightmare.
With my head in the bowl, and it just kept coming up. Anywhere from 5 to 10 to 15 minutes later, there were knocks on the door, as it was a busy night, and there was no doubt a queue by now building up. I opened the door to someone who worked at the bar, who said, "I think it's time to go home, mate." Grabbed me by the arm and escorted me out.
Oh, dear.
I was gutted, but didn't argue as I knew there was no coming back from this. I whipped out my phone to try to text Sarah to explain what had happened, but it was out of battery.
Oh, God.
So I headed
Calamity
home.
Of errors here.
Headed home without
I
saying a word.
I always carry an extra charge on my phone.
What, like a portable charger?
Yeah.
Fair play. Well, mate, you're a wise guy. I mean, what can I say? Without saying a word to her, and passed out in the clothes I'd worn out as soon as I got back home.
This sounds like a typical Thursday night. Thirsty Thursday. Sounds like me at embargoes. I always get lashed out and end up falling asleep in my suit.
Amazingly, though, after sending a grovelling apology the next day, she agreed to a second date. I wouldn't be surprised if she stood me up, though. All the best. Sigh.
Knighty. great story from Knighty. And there's a silver lining, Fred.
He got a second date?
No.
Oh, what?
It's the fact that he was sick, so he got rid of all the unnecessary calories that he would have taken on board. It's actually a really good tactic, a tactical chunder. You know, that's what I do on a night out.
Really?
You know, if I'm on an all-dayer, a Gary player, getting absolutely steamboated, I normally take a moment and do a tactical chunder, get rid of all the alcohol, unnecessary calories, pop a chewing gum, and I'm back ready to lash on.
Well, you are incredible, aren't you?
Actually, that's something I'll take from this story into my dates, tactical chundering.
Oh, God, Arch. So, Arch, are you ready for our first, you know, sort of main guest, the pièce de résistance of this first episode of season two to come on?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this guest, yeah.
I am very excited.
She could potentially be the one.
Okay, so hopefully you've learned a bit from Sophie, you've learned a bit from Nighty's dating story, and we can take this into...
This could quite literally be a hole-in-one.
Yeah, because you're planning on... Are you planning on doing something with her or not?
Well, I mean, if it goes well, I'm guessing she's going to absolutely love my pitter-patter.
Okay.
And hopefully get a date lined up.
Just a word of warning, though, because she's agreed to come on for an interview about her career and what she's up to.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry, mate. This is all business to me. Don't worry. I'm used to this kind of chat.
Okay.
I'll move it on swiftly. Don't you worry. She'll be like putty in my hands.
Yeah?
Yeah. She follows me on Instagram. She loves my lid. And I bet she can't wait to see my rig.
Our guest on the podcast today is one of the most impressive young businesswomen in this country. Forthright, confident, not shy of confrontation, and consistently the main talking point, circulating around the sitting rooms of the UK during the most recent series of The Apprentice.
She's pretty much my perfect woman.
She's also a supposed champion of the Rigbiz podcast, inferring that she has delectable taste. And so therefore, without further ado, we're delighted to welcome to the pod Lottie Lyon. Lottie, welcome to the pod. Absolutely wonderful to have you on as our guest to launch Series 2. Now, before we get stuck into the interview, we believe that you're a fan of the Rigbiz. I mean, can you tell us the story of how you came across it in the first place and what you've learned so far from, you know, our wonderful career and lifestyle advice?
Yeah, boys, massive, massive fan of the Rigbiz. Thank you so much for having me on here.
Who isn't?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll be really honest. My friend sent me a message not that long ago saying, "Lots, you've got to check out this podcast. I think that I found the male version of you, but like you're just much better looking." And I was like, okay, all right, you know, I'll check out his chat. And, you know, obviously referring to RG. And I like had a little listen and I really liked it, to be honest. I think that there's a massive market for just great chat, you know, talking about business, but in a sense that's a little bit more laid back, a little bit more relaxed. And yeah, I just really like the vibes.
Sounds about right. Yeah, sounds about right.
So Lottie, you know, you're a passionate, independent businesswoman. I believe you're currently working down in Bristol for some MNCs, which I'm sure we'll get stuck into shortly. But let's go back 10 odd years and hear about your childhood. Where did you grow up? What school did you attend? And what were you like at school? Were you always the one bossing your classmates around with your sort of superior knowledge and intellect?
So I grew up, yeah, in the middle of Exmoor. And then school-wise, I think that you boys will both be quite surprised. I wasn't actually public school educated. I know. So do you want to, should we end this now or like?
Well, I'm slightly shocked, but I mean, we can carry on. I mean, your Instagram's great. So let's just crack on.
Thanks, darling. Yeah. I'm hoping that my Instagram followers will just be a load of like business rugby lads after this. And, you know, that's the only reason why I'm on here.
Did this maturity beyond your years get you in trouble at school in your sort of late teenage years? Were there gentlemen on the scene waiting for you outside the school gates?
Not so much. I think that you'd be surprised looking at photos. Puberty hit me like a sledgehammer and did wonders for me, really. As a child, I was far too big for my boots. Really, really cocky. I mean, not a lot has changed, but, you know, I'm sort of, I have reasoning now. I moved out at a very young age. I moved out when I was like 16 years old, decided to fly the nest. So, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I had a place to myself and I was the person that was like hosting all of the parties and everything. So I had a massive reputation for being a really bad influence on all of my friends and peers at school. And, you know, we'd all go in on a Monday, be absolutely hanging out of our asses when, you know, we were only like 16 and at college.
I remember those times. A few games of spin the bottle.
Ah, beaut. Absolutely beaut. If things are that easy now.
Yeah, I used to actually be known to be pretty good at spin the bottle. I was always quite popular at school because obviously I played ruggers. But a lot of the girls, you know, they always said that I had a I had a skill at
sorry,
spin
so
the bottle.
You didn't go to an only boys school?
There were girls at my school, luckily.
Okay. That does kind of even out spin the bottle a little bit.
Yeah. Although we did once play spin the bottle in our boarding house, which was interesting. Unfortunately that wasn't good for me because, like I said, I was actually really good at spin the bottle, but that's something I don't really want to go into too much.
But I mean, hey, but Archie, you've got to try everything out at least once.
Well, what I will say is, John Little, if you're listening, please don't let anything out to the press.
Lottie, when you decided to apply for The Apprentice, what's the process like to get on the show? I mean, did you think you were actually going to get on, or did you do it as somewhat of a joke?
Okay, so in all honesty, Freddie, when I applied to be on The Process, I had had quite a few bottles of wine. So I actually applied in 2018, didn't get onto that year, and then reapplied the next year. And I think that it was just because I was, you know, I was just too young the year before. I was 18 years old. It wasn't going to happen. But yeah, I'd had a few too many glasses of wine, sent off the application, completely forgot about it, and 3 weeks later was invited to interview. And I was like, what the bloody hell is this? When the email came through, thought, okay, do you know what? I'll have a crack at it, see what happens. Turn up to this interviewing place, and there are like 600 people there, all to be interviewed. I think that it was a total of like 70,000 people applied. Over 6,000 people were interviewed. And the actual day of interviews is so intense. It's like many stages. Everybody's, you know, trying to be the most obnoxious in the room, talking over each other. It's literally a fight to see who has the biggest ego. And they play to the camera, and you've got to realize that it's not about that. They want somebody a little bit more genuine, somebody who will make sarky comments every now and then. You've got to be facially very expressive, all of that sort of stuff. And you know, I was selected, I was quite fortunate. But
because Lottie, I'm thinking about applying for the next series of The Apprentice. I've got a few business ideas up my sleeve. And obviously you're talking about interview technique. It's something that I think I've got quite good at over the years. I mean, granted, a lot of the time I've got jobs is through, you know, friends or dads of friends. But again, you know, even though I, you know, for instance, I work for my friend's dad now.
Mate, are you asking me to put a good word in? Because, like, well, the producers aren't too keen on me now.
I don't know if you need to. It sounds like if I went there, you know, if you need to be, you know, facially expressive, have, you know, confidence, great interview technique, are you saying I'd probably do quite well?
I'd say have a crack at it, but it's all about, it's not just an interview. It's almost an audition. You know, you get a screen test at the end, all of that sort of stuff. But I suppose you're used to, you know, popping your videos up on Instagram. So, I mean, yeah, have a crack at it. Well, see if you could do better than I did.
I mean, I'm an influencer now. Do you think that will probably bode well? Because, you know, I've already got a following. People, you know, seem to really respond to my business advice. And you know, the way I am, I'm guessing that would help me get on the show.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that they definitely need somebody in the next series that's a little bit more, you know, a little bit better looking, you know, all of that sort of stuff. They need somebody with like a good bod, all of that, you know, because they just didn't really have that my year, which was like massively disappointing.
Are you saying I'm good looking?
I mean, comparatively, everything is comparative.
I feel like we're kindred spirits.
I feel like we would be a bad influence on each other. But when lockdown is over, let's organise a drink. This is me being awfully forward.
Have you ever been out in Clapham?
No, not really. So my main spots in London are Raffles, Embargoes, Tramp.
Yeah, Thursday night Embargoes is decent. It's got a really good sort of folly douche vibe.
And I'll be honest, since moving to Bristol, I've just been so massively disappointed with the scenes. Yeah. You know, like I love my like preppy boys. I love like the rugby scene, all of that sort of stuff. Literally in Bristol, it's like hippies. It's left wing.
Disgusting.
They work in like shops and all that sort of shit. You know, they've never worn a suit. And the only suit that they wear is their prom suit. And then you know that when they're turning up to an interview, they're wearing their prom suit from when they were 16.
I bet
they wear brown brown shoes.
You're describing my worst sort of evening out. That's Bristol off the list. I probably won't be going out there. I don't fancy hanging out with any Labour supporters. I'll tell you that straight away.
Well, for that exact reason, I'm planning on moving up to London by the end of the year.
Oh, well, that'd be great. Because once you're up here, we should go for a drink at number 32. I don't know if you've heard it. It's this great place in Clapham, which is pretty much like the Ned of Clapham. I think you'd really enjoy the vibe.
Amazing. We'll have to give it a go.
Maybe like a mid...
Is Freddie going to be third wheeling? Are you coming along too, darling?
Fred, I don't think so. I think, well, it'd be best to have like a one-on-one and then, you know, really get to know each other. I think, you know, number 32 is great for like, you know, maybe, I don't know, are you a wine gal or a sort of a cocktail gal? Maybe we could go for a few cocktails Thursday night in Clapham. I, just to warn you, I have got a spin class on Thursday nights, but I'm normally done by about 8:30. So I hope, I mean, would it be okay if I turned up a little bit sweaty?
Yeah, no, that's sweet. I mean, I can't imagine I'd get too close anyway. There'll be like a few drinks between us at all times. So, you know, just stay across the table and I don't really mind.
Yeah, I've just got to warn you, my chat is lethal.
I mean, I'm impressed so far. So we'll see if you can keep it up. see if you can keep up with me.
Lottie, on The Apprentice, you are made to be seen as an incredibly bright contestant, but alas, one who seemed to dominate sometimes beyond the realms of what was comfortable for your teammates, which led to arguments, fights, etc. Was this the reality of what was uncaring, or was it sort of clever editing from the producers?
You've got to bear in mind that there are like 120 hours that go into every hour of footage on The Apprentice that you know, the viewer sees. And subsequently, it's really quite clever editing. They've got to be very selective with what they put in the final cut. They've got to follow a story that highlights the activities of those that come out top three and those that come out bottom three. And there was no episode on the series where I was floating in the middle. You know, I was the sub team leader on two tasks, won both of those, project manager on one task, won that one. Overall, I think that it was 7 tasks out of 10 that my team won. And it was, you know, yeah, there were a lot of fights, but we were all fighting. We were at each other's throats the majority of the time. But because I had been cast as that sort of character, my arguments were the ones that they seemed to focus on in the edit.
Mm. Lottie, do you ski?
I do, darling.
Ooh, okay. I do. No, I just came to mind.
Hi there, guys, it's me, Graham McDowell, aka the Australian Body Guru, and I'm so excited to release my most innovative diet to date, the 6-on-6 fasting diet. Now, traditionally, you may only fast for 20 hours a day. Nah, mate, that's useless. That's why I've created the first ever 6-month fast. Oh my God, your body's going to be so prime, so toned, so goddamn sexy when that summer hits. It's going to be unbelievable. What's even better is you can eat what the hell you want for the next 6 months. Fat, carbohydrates and sugar. Whatever you want, the dream is yours. Trust me, you're never going to turn back time. If you can DM me directly on Graham McDowell on Instagram, aka the Australian Body Guru, to reveal all the secrets and what you got to do. No refunds. Your biggest regret, Lottie?
My biggest regret, how on the cuff can I make this? okay, so my biggest regret was probably the relationship side of things in the house. You know, I had a close relationship with some, I didn't have a great relationship with others, and subsequently the time was quite difficult. But then on the outside, people didn't have loyalties to me, so they had no issue in selling stories on me, which is why I had such bad press. They do say, no, there's no such thing as bad press. And, you know, the more that people run my name, the more that my price goes up. You know, they can call me all names under the sun, but the amount of times I've been on the front page of the Sun means that now I'm worth more than they are. So, you know, they've done me a favor.
I think, you know, I've recently been in contacted by the Clapham Post, which is a newspaper local to Clapham, and they're trying to run this whole story, which is completely false, about these pictures that I've got out to a lot, you know, doing the circuit of me on rugby tour naked, which, yeah. Look, if you do see them, I swear it's not my body. But again,
they photoshopped them, right? They photoshopped it. 100%.
100%. And and the other thing, you know, and they're trying to run the story about my bottom teeth, which, you know, I just find harsh. But actually, you're right. The more they talk about me, the more my stock goes up, and actually, more the followers come and join the Lash Banter, and that's, you know, providing me with a lovely little side kitty for hopefully a weekend away in the Algarve, which, you know, you're more than welcome to join.
No.
Do you play golf?
See, I absolutely love Portugal, but I went to the Algarve like last year for a long weekend, and I'll be honest,
love
I was
a long
really
weekend,
disappointed. Though. It's so over commercialised. I was not impressed at all. I'd rather.
Well, have you not been to Valdelobo?
No, I haven't.
You've got to go to Val. Honestly, let's look at dates at the back end of the year. Maybe do a long weekend in Valdelobo. If you like wine, and do you play golf?
Love wine. I'll be honest. I'm not a massive fan of golf, just because my stepfather is like, his like handicap is like 4 or something. I don't know how good that is, but
no,
he's
that's
like,
good. He must be good at business.
He's a great businessman. Yeah,
I can
he's
imagine.
A CEO of a good company.
The lower the handicap, the better you are at deals. Something that I've learned from the city.
Sweet. Well, he's got both. But I'll be honest, I'm not a massive fan of golf, but I haven't played it since I was about 16, albeit only 4 years ago. I'd definitely give it a go again.
Well,
so perhaps
this sounds
we'll have to look at some dates.
This could honestly, it sounds like we would have an unbelievably, you know, good relationship, whether that's business or whatever. I mean, you like skiing, you like the Algarve. I mean, I'm guessing you like Dubai as well.
Fucking love Dubai.
Oh my God. Honestly, I would love to smash Dubai with you. I mean, I don't want to get too visual here, but just imagine me in a pair of white chinos, no socks, some loafers, and a Jack Wills blue tight-fitting shirt. My hair slipped back, obviously with a bit of a tan. I think you'd find it hard to have the two drinks between us.
I'm going to be really honest. I think you're going to have to drop the Jack Wills thing. I mean, I've been listening. And also, I think that it's a little bit overrated. Go for something a little bit classy in it. Like, let's stick with some, like, polo. Or let's go for, like, Jules. Jules is a little bit more out there. It's a little bit more countryside.
Okay.
You know, are you aware of the fact that Jack Wills was bought out by Sports Direct? Do you know how fucking working class it is? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I know. That is the thing. But the problem is that they're one of our chief sponsors. And if the problem is if you're a rugby guy in Clapham, you know, Jack Wills is being synonymous with the rugby community. And being a semi-pro rugby player, you know, regardless that it is with Sports Direct, it's taken a new direction. But with people like me on board, I'm hoping to drag it out of that direction back into the great era, you know, the 90s, the early 2000s, when Jack Wills was just sexy.
The epitome of class.
If you stayed at mine for a weekend, I was popping out for breakfast, I'd normally just chuck on some Canterbury joggers, a vest, and then I'd have, you know, my gilet with a beanie and some flip-flops. That's sort of, you know, my weekend look, just to go down to the supermarket, get some eggs. I'd come back. I'm guessing you like smoked salmon and poached eggs with avocado.
I'll be honest, fucking love it. Class
Jesus
breakfast,
Christ.
Absolutely class.
I'm so glad you've come on the pod.
Lottie,
I'm just surprised we haven't spoken before.
Lottie, there are a couple of controversies.
Where have you been?
Which hit the newspaper during your time with The Apprentice. You were banned from appearing on Apprentice. You're fired due to a breach of contract. What was that breach of contract? Because I saw that Lewis was still allowed to appear on the spin-off show.
Yeah, so there are a few discrepancies during my time because I'm not one to follow the rules. I do my own thing. And, you know, the BBC are very left wing. I was never going to, you know, listen to them. You know, who are they to tell me what to do? I broke my contract a few times on a few different occasions. I essentially went out and did exclusive interviews with other papers who were offering to pay me more than I was going to get paid anyway for my time in the process. We'd already filmed it at that point. I was like, you know, I've got nothing to lose. So I went out and I did that. There was also the whole allegation about the racism scandal when a girl quoted Gandhi. So I said, shut up, Gandhi. That doesn't make sense. If only I'd chosen a different fucking philosopher, it would, you know, it would never have happened. And then, you know, there was the small affair between quotation marks that I had while I was in the process with Lewis, who was really not my type, marketing guy from Manchester, has tattoos, all of that sort of stuff. Yeah.
I don't know what Lewis looks like. Have you got a picture?
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's a public school, you know, shielded.
Is he in good nick? Was he in good shape?
Yeah, he is, to be fair.
What's his body fat percentage? Good body fat percentage? Oh, I'm having a look at him now. Jesus Christ. He's got tattoos.
Yeah, laser tats. Oh,
right, wow. Okay, I've just seen a topless photo of him. Yeah, he's not... Okay, body's okay, yeah, not the best, but okay, fair enough. Just going back on the breaking the rules, Lottie, just really important for me, because obviously if we ever got into business or ever got married, whatever, you know, I'm guessing you wouldn't break that, you know, the contractual, you know, obligations to, you know, business or marriage.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that there's a time and a place. And, you know, I was single, I was having fun. And also, you've got to bear in mind the fact that it was really quite lonely being in the process.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed to, you know, contact anybody on the outside world. We had, and, you know, the relationships that you form in that are literally so intense, because you are, you know, living and breathing with these people 24/7. You cannot escape. Okay. So it was just a little bit of fun. But yeah, absolutely.
But if we, I mean, like, for instance, we settled down in like a 1.5, you know, bed place with a swimming pool in Clapham, you know, Common.
Yeah, lovely.
Which would be, you know, absolutely beautiful.
Maybe three children, Julius, Theodore and Camilla.
Yeah, no problem. There are two boys there, right?
Yeah,
scrum half, fly half combination, quite like that. But you know, I just double checking, obviously, you know, like if we had that, you're not gonna, you know, your eyes aren't gonna get averted, you're not gonna leave me, you know, because obviously we'll have a mortgage to pay, and obviously we'll probably have a pad abroad, maybe a country pad somewhere in Somerset, you know, near Babington House, I imagine, where we can just chill out. I'm just, you know, you're not one to, you know, those are rules, you're not going to break those rules.
No, not at all. Okay, I mean, cool, you know, cool. I'm still young at this point. I'm looking, you know, I've got time to get settled. But once that does happen, you know, I'll be pretty set on being a fucking good housewife, you know, cooking, looking after my, you know, looking after my family, all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so, your cooking on Instagram. It's decent. I like it. Yeah. Obviously, now you're like me. You're a celebrity. I mean, have you mm-hmm. dated celebrities, or would I be the first celebrity you've dated?
I can't disclose who. I mean, I've had chats with various people in the past. I mean, Freddie's actually fully aware of somebody who is. What would we class him? Would you class him like B or C list, Freddie?
What am I, Freddie?
Well, you're C.
I'm C.
Yeah, I would say he's B, you're C, but you're a lot better chat and a lot better guy. So I think in that sense, you're an A. In that sense, you're an A.
I'm probably better looking.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
And my chat's up there, I reckon. Most girls I meet in Infernos and Weekend just say, like, your chat is something else.
And is the netball girls by any chance?
Lottie, unfortunately, we can't talk about the netball girls. We are legally
collective.
Well, there's been a few incidents. Unfortunately, that's what happens. I go to Infernos, which you have to, you know, when you come up to London, I'll take you to Infernos. But all I've got to warn you is, once I take my top off and I've got a Corona in my left hand, drinking from, you know, from my left hand, topless, the number of girls that approach me is quite incredible. But look, you know, if I'm in a relationship, Lottie, I wouldn't go off at anyone else.
Great to know. I'll be like marking my territory.
Lottie, I'm guessing you are single.
Yes, I am. Yeah,
okay. Well, we should definitely. I really want to take you to this place, number 32 in Clapham. I think you'd really enjoy it. What's great about number 32 is you can have a drink at a circular bar, and it's just a great place to chill and relax. Yeah, it's just got a really good vibe and really good clientele. There are no smelly hippies there.
Oh, that would be an absolute godsend at the moment. You know, I'm stuck in Bristol at the moment. It's not like I can even escape to London for like a long weekend. You can't go anywhere. And, you know, I go to like my local Waitrose or whatever. And still to get there, you have to pass all of these people in these big baggy trousers with like dreadlocks and all this sort of shit. Disgusting. And, you know, we've got to adhere by like the 2 meters or however far rule at the moment.
But,
I would anyway. Oh. You know, you see these people and you walk to the other side of the road, like, don't come near me.
And also, what would be great when you get up here, maybe we can go for a little brunch on the KR.
Would love that. I mean, I think that I should bring my best friend and we can make it a double date, because she's like a rugby girl, she's French, or she speaks French. She's blonde. She's really, really good looking. And I reckon that the four of us would be a great group to have a night out with.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good.
Lottie, if Archie took out 250 grand out of one of his trust funds, I know you're a sort of a celebrator of cosmetic surgery. What would you have done?
Oh, easily my nose. That's like the plan for next year anyway. Always wanted to have it done. And, you know, I think that, you know, with that done, I could easily be a...
Lottie, what are you, you know, you're a single girl, so what are you looking for in a man? And what would be your ideal date? So you came up to London, you have 24 hours in the city. Take us through what would happen.
Okay, what would I need to do? So usually if I'm like on my way up to London, if I'm going up for business or whatever, and I've got a Friday night free, I hate just, you know, being in my hotel room by myself. So, you know, I'll probably get on like Bumble, or I'll get on, you know, Toffee or something, and see if there's any local talent, see if there's anybody who, you know, wants to go for like a spontaneous drink or something.
Yes, please.
I love spontaneity. Mm. I love, you know, like
I once had a client drinks like a lunch, and we got pretty loose, and I necked half a bottle of white wine. I don't know if that's spontaneous, but a lot of people said that I was pretty crazy.
That's nuts. That's actually, yeah. I mean, like that's pretty light work, but still, you know,
it's spontaneous. I was just in the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you've got to show these people in business that you are spontaneous. You're there to take risks. You don't care, you know, the outcome. You weren't thinking about the next day. You were like, I'm living in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, I'm successful. I literally don't fucking care. You know,
I think business for me, the analogy I always use, business is not about doing the blue run or the red run or, you know, or the green run. It's always about taking the black run, you know? If you always take the black run, then yeah, eventually when you get to the end of it, you're going to feel a lot better. That's the kind of guy I am, Lottie. You know, that's, I guess, my spontaneity. You know, I will get on the old champers. I will smash the apres. At the end of it, when everyone's going back to the chalet, I'm like, guys, I'm just going to quickly do a black run.
Lottie.
Yeah, and I need a man like that in my life to, you know, to impress me. And I can be look.
Get down to London. Let's get this sorted.
Lottie, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Lottie. Really enjoyed it.
And, you know, we'll see you when you come up to London.
Thanks, boys. Have a good day.
Cheers, Lottie. You too. Bye.
Love you.
Well, what an incredible
Wow.
You'll enjoy
Woo!
That.
Woo! Yeah. What a gal.
Yeah. Well, you guys seem to be getting
pretty well. Oh, yeah. Can't wait to be doing a bit of business with her, if you know what I mean.
You can't say that, Archie.
Yeah,
that's a bit rude.
I know. But you said it was going to be difficult. Don't think it is. Just found Mrs. Cousin. Episode one. Thanks for coming.
Well, mate, you guys got on relatively well, but come on. Yeah. You're massively...
I better start looking at venues.
What?
And organising the stag. God, imagine that stag. Oh, God. I better get an email out to Buzzy B and Benders. And Kersey,
mate.
And Hask, and Mayo. Imagine that stag. We'll definitely get a game of touch going. That's going to be incredible. And actually start looking at properties around the Clapham Common area.
Mate.
Forget about the 1.5. With her basic, my basic, we're probably looking at 2 mil.
Mate, Archie.
Unbelievable.
Archie, all she agreed to was a double date, and I'm going to be there.
Yeah, yeah. She said to bring you and bring her friend, because she's obviously nervous. Imagine meeting me one-on-one. I'm the full package. She'll be trembling in her boots.
Mate.
I'd probably just take them both back.
Archie, I mean, come on. You're meant to be looking for a wife here, not...
Yeah, but everyone knows you've got to try the maid of honour as well for the big day.
Archie, Jesus Christ, mate. We still obviously got a lot of work to do with you, sir.
Okay, I know we've got a lot of work to do, and I'm not going to take my eye off the ball. I'm sure there's plenty more fish in the sea, but that went exceptionally well.
I thought it went pretty well, yeah.
I've always said, if I get a boner at bank... I know I'm going to have a good day. And I had an erection the whole way through that interview. So that's only got to be a good sign.
Jesus Christ, Archie. Well, mate, I think we should come back next week, reset.
Stag.
Give you a bit of time to, you know, refresh and, you know, stop thinking about Lottie
Lyon. Oh, my God.
And then we can
Hask
see where...
Hask is going to be ungrateful with the stag.
Well, mate, come on.
Oh, my God.
Well, next week I've organised for Paul Dozer Jones talking about Hask to come on the pod.
Dozer, oh my God. He'll probably want to come on the stag.
And hopefully he can give you some insight into...
It's just going to be loads of like well-known rugby players.
Yeah.
Just getting absolutely steamboated.
Well, mate, he's coming on next week and he can't wait to come
Vegas.
On and share
That's
some
where
of
we're going to go.
Really?
Vegas, yeah, yeah. When Dozer comes on the pod next week, I'm definitely going to get him involved in the stag.
You're right, you'll ask him to come
He's going
to
absolutely love it. Yeah.
Mate, the only problem is you can't have a stag without a fiancé. and you don't have a fiance, mate. So let's
not yet.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Wait till I meet Lottie.
Let's come back next week.
Might even pop the question on date one.
Let's use all the wisdom you've
I'll
got.
Be like, babe, think about it. Your basic, my basic. Your looks, my looks. Your Instagram, my Instagram. Let's make it a thing.
Mate, listen to all the advice you got this week from Sophie, the lessons you've learned from the Lottie stories, the highs and lows, even 90 story you could learn from.
Yeah, you got
we
to
come
learn.
Back next week and we're stronger and maybe there's a better option out there
for
you.
Yeah, look, I'm not taking the Hinge profile down. Don't get me wrong.
The age difference between you and Lottie is quite big as well.
Yeah. My dad was 30 years older than my mum.
Jesus.
Wow. Yeah, so age is not a thing.
Okay.
And I'm like a fine wine. I'll get better and better.
Well, mate, thank you guys so much for listening to the first ep of the second series.
But before we go,
what?
Grab your guitar.
Mate, no way.
No, grab your guitar.
Mate, I made a promise. The reason I'd come back and help you out with the relationship is if the guitar wasn't involved.
Fred, do you want to come on the stag or not?
Yeah.
Get your guitar. I absolutely love this bit of the pod. It's just such good pitter-patter. It actually reminds me when I was in my gap here in Canary Wharf, and there's a guy called Jiff. Went to Radley, top guy, and he used to play the guitar at night. It was really nice. The Mate, birds used to love it.
Who are we doing this year, though, for the sponsorship?
Oh, Jack Wells.
No, we can't.
Why not?
Because, mate, the podcast is registered to my house, and now they've got all this money from Mike Ashley from the South of Newcastle. I can't risk all the legal proceedings in the fund.
Okay. Oh, well, don't worry, I've got a way around that.
Really?
Always think ahead. Yeah, crack on. Okay. Summer, Lash, Clapham Common, more Lash, running topless, using your pitching wedge topless on Clapham Common, doing press-ups topless on Clapham Common, doing business topless on Clapham Common. There's one brand that you need to wear this year that sums up the ultimate professional, and that is a brand that rhymes with smack pills. Check out www.thebrandthatrhymeswithsmackpills.com for some great deals.
Jesus Christ.
See what I did there? So I didn't actually mention Jack Wills, so we won't get in trouble.
Guys, thank you so much for listening.
Great to be back.
Mate, it is fantastic to be back.
Just imagine everyone listening to this just thinking, yes.
Yeah, finally.
Summer's here.
Yeah, no, agree. Well, summer is very much here. The
magician sun is back on fire.
Well, mate, you've done pretty well today. Well done, sir. And
I imagine I'll be walking around Clapham and a lot of people will give me a wave. Yeah. Just saying, cheers. Thanks so much.
Well, all the guests on the show have been fantastic, and I've got a couple of surprises.
Banter in their ears.
Got a couple of surprises lined up for you next week as well, along with Dozer, who I think is going
to
be great.
God, I can't wait to get Dozer on.
Mate, it's going to be really good. So, guys, thank you so much for listening. Jeez. Please, if you enjoyed the app, like, subscribe, comment, share with your friends, family, loved ones, and just get it down your social
guys, please
ciphers.
Do that. Yeah, that's really important. You do that.
Also, with the summer
if you're not going to do it, then don't bother listening.
That is actually a very good point. Well, don't be too harsh, Arch. But with the summer here, ladies and gentlemen...
Actually, if I see anyone in the Clapham area and I see them listening to the pod, I will say to them, have you left a comment, liked
fair
it,
play.
Subscribed?
Fair well, guys, please
And
don't...
if they haven't, then I'll make them do it. So that's a warning for everyone.
Archie, let us remind...
And let's be honest, Clapham Common is like one big beer garden at the moment, so I'll be going round, checking.
That is true. Well, Archie,
I don't care about the 2 meter rule.
Let's remind everyone that the caps are for sale, the Rex Club cap and Falcon sale. We got some new colours out for the summer, some new designs.
Quite a lot of money from them.
So, guys, just get on in the link below in this pod and you can get one of those right now.
£20 is pretty reasonable for a cap.
It's incredible.
Generally speaking, the kind of people that listen to the pod are all on pretty high basic salaries, regardless if they've been furloughed.
No, true.
If they haven't got the cash, their parents will.
But also, it's an incredibly...
So, ask your parents for £20. Great birthday present.
It's true.
Or just a great treat for yourself.
Well, also, by buying a cap, you become a member of the Falcons, which is a membership for life, so...
Yes. Or they won't be able to play.
No, of course not.
But if I see them with a cap on, like, I'll say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
And I'm happy to take a photo of them.
Well, you heard it
here
first.
That's the other thing. Please ask me for photos. No one's really asked me for any photos recently.
2 meter distance, I think, mate. So, just try
I'm
and
happy
safe.
To break it.
Well,
I'd imagine, again, a lot of the people listening to this will be clean. It's the lefties that are a bit dirty.
Well, thanks for that, Archie, mate. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We didn't mean to cause any offence, if so. Anyway, guys, see you guys same time next week. Thanks a lot.
Mate, just picture this. It's Saturday. It's boiling hot. I'm on Clapham Common. I've got the pill in my right hand, a Corona in my left. I look out. There are chassis as far as the eye can see. And I just start singing, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. More lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. Then everyone realises it's Archie Cousin, Captain of the Clapham Falcons, Chief Chat Officer, the CEO of Clapham, and they all start singing, more lash, 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 more lash. And then everyone is on their feet. They're going nuts. It's like SW4. Beers are going everywhere. Rocket balls in the air. Everyone's got their top off, including girls. And they all start singing, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. Absolutely kicking off. I neck my beer, everyone goes nuts, and I reckon all the birds would love it.
A mochi moment from Sadie, who writes, I'm not crying, you're crying. This is what I said during my first appointment with my physician at Mochi, because I didn't have to convince him I needed a GLP-1. He understood, and I felt supported, not judged. I came for the weight loss and stayed for the empathy. Thanks, Sadie. I'm Myra Ammit, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Sadie is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A mochi moment from Tara, who writes, for years, all my doctor said was eat less and move more, which never worked. But you know what does? The simple eating tips from my nutritionist at Mochi. And after losing over 30 pounds, I can say you're not just another GLP-1 source. You're a life source. Thanks, Tara. I'm Myra Ammit, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Tara is a Mochi member compensated for her story.